And we need to be reminded God certainly is still on the throne. Amen? No doubt about that. All right. We've had a great week with just a lot of good things, a lot of good Christmas things. Tonight you'll get to see one of those, the cantata. Get to hear the music, be challenged by the message, as so many have already. The choir, I don't know if they have voices left after singing the cantata. How many times have they sung the cantata now? Fifth time tonight. So anyway, been used very, very well, and a lot of good decisions. So praise the Lord for that. Well, we're in the book of Revelation. So turn to Revelation chapter 1. Our memory verse for lesson 1, which actually is the introduction to Revelation. Our memory verse is Revelation 21:5. And I can almost guarantee we are going to finish lesson 1 today. Believe it or not, you should have lesson 1 and lesson 2. If you do not have lesson 1 and lesson 2, if you would raise your hand, Brother Collins will stealthily find his way to you, and he will deliver those. Lesson 1, lesson 2, anyone? Raise your hand if you need those. All right, there is one. Anyone else? Lesson 1 or lesson 2? Of course, lesson 1, we have given an introduction and covered a lot of territory, a lot of lists. And I believe, Brother Collins, you still have copies of some of those lists. Is that correct? Yes. All right. So if you need any of those lists, we had lists of many, many different things. And, of course, in the outline, we did give you the significance of 21 sevens in the book of Revelation alone. And nearly 600 passages in the Bible give us a reference to the number 7, and that's kind of an amazing thing. It does stand out. It means complete, total, or perfection. You'll run into it over and over again in the book of Revelation, so I did want to single that out. And then I gave you the 7 sections and have divided the book of Revelation into 7 sections, and the first section, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, the second one, the announcement to the 7 churches, the third, the ability of the Lamb to open the book. The fourth, the awful judgments of the book. The fifth, the appearance of 7 key characters. The sixth, the anger of God. And the seventh, the accomplishment of God's will. And so that was really our outline of the book. Number 2, we looked at the outlook of the book, and we talked about how John was on the Isle of Patmos, and how that it was things that he saw, things that he heard, and he records those as God instructed him to. We spent a little time talking about how he might have seen things, and obviously in his day, he would have a hard time describing futuristic systems and things like we see today. For example, imagine a pioneer, a Western pioneer, trying to explain a cell phone or trying to explain a tank or something like that, and we spent a little time talking about that. So John saw, John heard, John described in his words, led by the Holy Spirit, of course, everything that he saw. And so we come to Roman numeral 3, and that is the outcome of the book. And again, it is the final chapter of God's plan, as we're allowed to know it. And everything is going to happen that God said would happen. Don't forget that. Everything happens just as God says. And it was written to be an encouragement. The book of Revelation is, though there are some fearful things in it, there are some things that are very difficult to handle, it was written to encourage Christians during a time of intense persecution. And so, again, it is written to fulfill all the prophecy of Scripture. You know, much prophecy is already fulfilled. We're celebrating Christmas. Prophecies fulfilled with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, 120 prophecies involving Christ's first coming. And there are at least 300 prophecies that involve His second coming. And so those will all be fulfilled. We talked about God dealing with the Jews. We talked about God dealing, of course, as far as Abraham and the promise to Abraham, promise to David, God dealing with the Jews, and then God dealing with the non-Jews. And that is all fulfilled, and that is talked about in the book of Revelation. And everything's taken care of. Everything's over. It is the end. It's the final chapter, and praise the Lord for that. And so we're kind of in the middle of that section, the outcome of the book, and kind of in the section talking about God's dealing with the non-Jews. We are going back into Daniel again, re-looking over some things that we looked over several years ago in the book of Daniel, certainly not doing an exhaustive study, but just again to get a little review of how God made it clear. He showed King Nebuchadnezzar, and therefore showed us through the Word of God, the future, showed us the world kingdoms, and ultimately their destruction. So before we start, let's go back to our memory verse. It should be the last time we will look at this as far as a memory verse as we move into lesson 2 the next time we meet. But it is Revelation 21 and verse 5. And let's say the reference, the verse, and then the reference. Revelation 21, verse 5. "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Revelation 21, 5. And again, Revelation 21, 5. "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Revelation 21, 5. Father, I pray that you'll bless our time, that you'll speak to our hearts, that you'll guide us into the truth of the Scripture, that it'll change us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. And so we go back to Roman numeral 3, the outcome of the book. And we were talking about the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, and we came to the feet that the Bible says were made in his image. He saw, or in his dream, he saw an image of a man, and the head was gold, the breast and arms were silver, the belly and thighs were brass, the legs were iron, and then the feet were a combination of iron and clay. We said that the interpretation, the head of gold was the Babylonian Empire, or more specifically, it was Nebuchadnezzar. The breast and arms of silver was the Mede and Persian Empire. The belly and thighs of brass were the Grecian Empire. And the legs of iron, that represents the Roman Empire. And these empires all took place. They are historical empires. The description of the materials, the description of the beasts that we looked at when we were in the book of Daniel, absolutely portray exactly what these empires would be and how they would be, and to details that are unbelievable in the book of Daniel. And again, all before it ever took place. But as we look at it, these have all taken place. Babylonian Empire, Mede, Persian Empire, Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire. These non-Jewish empires, these Gentile empires, kingdoms, if you will. As far as our history is concerned, the last world empire was the Roman Empire. Now, the feet is what you have to deal with, and Revelation does deal with that. And we'll see that as we get into it. I don't want to get into it all right now, but these feet made of iron and clay, there are obviously the divisions. We ended with this last week, the 10 toes. And you'll hear people that talk of prophecy. They're looking for 10 of something, 10 nations, 10 countries, 10 kings, kingdoms, however you want to put that. And you'll hear talk of that all the time. When we get to that, we certainly will do our speculating on that. And you say, why do you have to speculate? Why can't we just, well, because the Bible didn't say exactly, so all you can do is speculate. But here's the thing that to me stands out and I want to point out. And I think it's very, very clear. Go back to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. And let's start at verse 34. Daniel 2 and verse 34. The Bible says, "Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff." Don't misunderstand. I mean, that stone would have broken any of those metals. That stone would break any of them. In fact, as it hits the feet, everything just breaks into pieces. And the Bible says the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. There was no room for man's kingdoms. Now that day is coming. That is talked about in the book of Revelation. When the day comes, there will be no room for man's kingdoms. Okay, and so we understand that. Now, in verse 41 of Daniel chapter 2, it says, "Whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided." So there's one thing we know about that last day. Now I'm going to call this, and we referred to this as a revived Roman Empire. All right? Again, again, that name is not a biblical name necessarily. That is a name I'm simply giving it because it's part of the iron legs that definitely represents the Roman Empire. All right? And so in the feet, we see a revived Roman Empire that is reviving today. And that's the only reason I mention that is because the revived Roman Empire is reviving now. It will be reviving and it will be revived and it will be a world empire during the tribulation time. All right? It will be headed by the Antichrist, and it is a some form of the Roman Empire, and then it has that clay mixture obviously, it is weaker than any of the other world empires, and we need to understand that. It says that thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay, part of iron. The kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken, which makes it very brittle. And again, as you recall, we talked about it last week. We go from gold to brass to silver to iron clay. Man is not getting better and better, as the humanist and evolutionist says. Man is getting worse and worse in strength. And, we're smart, aren't we? Boy, we sure are smart, but we're not smart enough to deal with sin. You know, oh, man, we're making technological advances. If you saw our school Christmas program, excellent. It was tremendous. We did the same program, I believe it was in 2004, and I couldn't help but notice the technological advances through some of the things we've been able to do in Vacation Bible School. Brother Cook, he put those into this program that we did on Friday night, and it just was amazing. I mean, we had correspondents. We had a correspondent in China. We had a correspondent in Bethlehem. We had a correspondent in New York City, and it's just amazing. And they never left here, but you never would have known that. And it was just amazing. Technologically, man is really getting smarter. Sinfully, morally, man just keeps getting more and more corrupt. It just gets worse and worse, doesn't it? And so that revived Roman Empire will be a worldwide empire ruled by the Antichrist, but it will not be strong. It will be iron and it will be clay. And I got news for you. The reason, there's many reasons why it will not be strong. One of them is it's headed up by evil, and that's not going to be strong, but it's also formed of evil people, evil leaders. And though Antichrist is fueled by Satan and strengthened by Satan, clearly in Revelation it tells us that, I got news for you. Mankind is still just as wicked and corrupt and even worse than ever. And this earth will not have you and I here to influence with the Holy Spirit's influence, it's going to be chaos, and it's going to be bad. And it is not going to be a kingdom of strength, other than it appears to be, because no man could buy or sell without the mark. And there will certainly be control of people, but it will not be a very strong kingdom. And so understand this, that revived Roman Empire is reviving. Now, everything we see going on, that is part of the reviving of the Roman Empire, and which will be headed up by the Antichrist. It says in verse 43 back in Daniel, whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Now, again, this is why we talk about this as we talk about it in the book of Revelation, because we will talk about God's kingdom. And we will talk about the millennial kingdom that God sets up. Notice it's in the days of these kings, these ten kings. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. Notice, again, the wording in Daniel, each of these other empires was absorbed into the other empire. The Babylonian Empire was absorbed into the Medo-Persian Empire, which was absorbed by the Grecian Empire, which was absorbed by the Roman Empire. Nothing was obliterated. It's all one image. It's all man's works. Well, it's just simply saying this. It's saying that God's kingdom, the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. All these kingdoms of man will be destroyed when God's kingdom comes. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that it break, no, man's hands have nothing to do with God's kingdom. Absolutely nothing to do with it. No man is ushering in God's kingdom. God himself is ushering in God's kingdom. And it shall break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold. The great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. And I say all that because it is certain, it is sure, that's going to happen. Exactly how God said that it would happen. Now, the kingdom of heaven that we see in Daniel chapter 2, verses 44 and 45, again, that is something that will take place right after the tribulation. 7 years tribulation, and then the millennial kingdom. And man's, the battle of Armageddon, I mean, it isn't even, we call it a battle, but it's not much of a battle. And we will look at all of that in Revelation. And again, each power fell to the following power. God's kingdom will never be destroyed, it says. It'll never be destroyed. It is a physical, earthly kingdom because it replaces that, but it's established by God. It's a stone cut out without hands. It is universal. It fills the whole earth, and only saints will enter in. Christ is not absorbing Rome. He's not absorbing the revived Roman Empire into it as the other kingdoms did. And it's very important that we understand that as we study the book of Revelation. We will see all of that take place. And so, again, between Daniel's day and the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, there have been four kingdoms already, and there is one more, this revived Roman Empire, still to come. And that means there's no possibility of a Russian takeover. There's no possibility of a China takeover. There's no possibility of the United States of America being a worldwide. It's not possible. It isn't going to happen. And we know that. As we look at, they've got bombs pointed at us, and we've got bombs pointed, everybody's got bombs pointed. The terrorists have nuclear bombs. But understand, it is not going to happen where there is a Russian world empire, a German world empire, a American world empire, that's not going to happen. There's one more world empire to come. That is a revived and a revived Roman Empire. And understand, that is there's speculation all over the place about, okay, what part of Rome is part of that and all that. And we'll get into some of that. But it is so important. So whenever these toes are wiggling, amen, whenever there's 10 toes, those kings, it says in Daniel, those kings, I have to wiggle the toes, amen. But those kings are the kings that will go down as God's kingdom comes up. So those kings are part and a crucial part of the tribulation time. They are very active, very involved, and that kingdom, that alliance, whatever you want to call it, that will be prominent in the world during that time. And so we know that is going to be going on during the tribulation. That will be going on before the millennium. And so to me, it's exciting because it's happening. Because this revived Roman Empire is reviving as we watch and as we see things around us unfold. That's why you'll hear people talk. And there's other verses which we'll get into, but dealing with the number 10. So again, as we look at numbers, Revelation, there's all kinds of numbers that are important, and 10 stands out as being very important. So the big question is this, and I've preached about it a couple times. When is all this going to happen? When is all this going to happen? And we already know that no man knows when. But look at Matthew 24, just because it's in the notes. Matthew 24 and verse 36. Like I say, I keep preaching messages because God, as I'm studying for the Revelation study, God keeps laying passages of Scripture on my heart. Just like this morning, I'm going to preach on Xmas is coming. You know, God just, you know, as I study this, Matthew 24, verse 36. Have you thought about that during the tribulation? Let's say the rapture takes place sometime in 2011. Let's say it takes place in February 2011. Do you understand? This is the last Christmas. I mean, there will be little groups that will still... I'm sure, because there will be some folks get saved during the tribulation. But understand, this is the last Christmas. I mean, last time, I'm consumed with that kind of thing. I'm consumed with, we just sang, I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Do you understand that during the tribulation, they won't be singing, I heard the bells on Christmas Day. They won't be singing Silent Night. Again, I know there might be a little group somewhere. But Christmas will be illegal during the tribulation time. By the way, there won't be anybody here. Right after the rapture, there won't be anybody here interested. It's an amazing thought. An amazing thought. Could you imagine if the rapture takes place 1 week from today? And so all the Christians are gone. Everybody that's saved is gone. And we have all our decorations here. Because obviously somebody will take this building, you know. Do you ever think like that? I find myself consumed with those kinds of thoughts of you know, is this morning's message, tonight's message with the cantata, is that our last Christmas message from this pulpit? Is that the last time Christmas will be talked about? Because Xmas is the replacement for Christmas. And to be honest with you, you know, many, many Christians, you don't even think anything of it because we're getting geared that way, right? Happy holidays, season's greetings. Yeah. I'm not mad about it. I'm pretty excited about it, to be honest with you. But again, here's the question. Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. I preached about this just recently. Matthew 25 and verse 13, just preached on this last week. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Watch. And again, the idea is to be ready at any time. That's why I have to think this way. Every service is, you know, what if the rapture takes place? That's, what would this building become? You'd be amazed. The building that I was called to preach in, I surrendered to preach. I was called to preach in the back of a bus, but the building that I surrendered to preach, in fact, pretty much all my initial growth as a Christian, the Marian Baptist Temple in Marian, Indiana. I remember the altar. I was there often, over and over as a new Christian. I was there as a long-haired hippie. I was there telling God, I'll cut my hair, you know, and so many decisions. I knelt at that altar. That altar today is a dance floor of an American Legion. You talk about a sad, sad thing. It's just hard to imagine. You know, what will this building be during the tribulation? And it's just a building, I know that. But I think of our altar, it's precious. There's tears, stains at this altar. Decisions, people getting saved, people's lives being changed. What will this building be during the tribulation? So what are we supposed to do? Well, we watch. We need to be ready anytime Jesus could return. And so what is the response? And as we preach this, what is the response? Well, there will always be those that scoff. Always. Look, if you will, at 2 Peter 3. And again, as we move into, verse by verse, as we study Revelation, I hope that there's no one here who would scoff. 2 Peter 3 and verse 3. And I hope that there's no one, by the way, this study is now, folks are a lot of internet interest on this study. People are telling people. And I hope there's no one listening by way of the internet that would scoff. Like in 2 Peter 3, verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts. People have thought he's coming for years. Come on, he's not coming. Scoffers. Then, number two, I think there will be seekers. Seekers who will say, I'm really interested in this. And I'm hoping that for this being on the internet and folks being able to download. How many of you have ever been on our website and downloaded a message? How many of you have done that? Okay, not very many. Some have. I just did it for the first time, just checking something, and it's actually very simple. And I'm amazed how many folks have contacted me, letting me know, we're studying along with you in Revelation. And, I hope it will, somebody will perk up their ears and their heart, and they'll seek the Lord. And they'll get excited about that. That's how I got saved. Was somebody preaching, a preacher preaching on the second coming of Christ, and God made it so real to me that I was going to be left behind. I was consumed with that thought, and I trusted Christ as my Savior. If you seek Him, you'll find Him, if you search for Him with all your heart. And so there will be some scoffers, there will be some seekers, there will be some get saved. As we talk about Christ coming, there will be people get saved. How many of you got saved as a result of the second coming? You were thinking about the rapture, the second coming, or something like that. How many others besides me? Several folks. Amen. Good. Good. Some save with fear. Some save with fear. Some with compassion, making a difference, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, Jude says. And I was absolutely terrified. I'm amazed how many people say, well, you shouldn't scare people. Why? Why shouldn't you scare people? Isn't that what my doctor did when he looks at me and he says, you're fat? Isn't that what he's doing when he says your sugar level's too high? You're not eating right. Isn't that what he's doing when he says your cholesterol's too high? Isn't he scaring me? I'm glad he did. Amen. And I'm so glad preachers preached the truth and it scared me into getting saved. How many of you were saved because you were scared? Raise your hand. How many of you? All right, good, good. Again, some with compassion. You found out God loved you. You found out God cared. You found out, you know, that God sent his son to die for you, and you got saved, and that's a wonderful thing. But some of us just absolutely were terrified. You know, a message on hell, a message on the second coming, a message on the rapture, a message being left behind, a message of going through the tribulation and then going to hell, and wow. Scoff, seek salvation. But for you folks, seriously, I hope the response is strength. Strength. Because we are in last days. I didn't say the last days, but it is certainly last more than it was 2,000 years ago. We are in last days. And the Bible says this in Revelation 1:19, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Isn't it wonderful that God tells us what's going to happen? I mean, to me, that makes all the difference in the world. Yeah, you ever watch a sports game and you kind of care? Maybe you're involved in it. You're playing in a game, basketball game or something like that. I think of some of those state championship games, and there's a part of me that if I'd have known what was that game, we were behind by 18 at the end of the third quarter. You know, it would have been nice to know we were going to win that. I have to figure it would have saved me at least 25 hairs. Used to, I was talking in the hundreds. Now we're just in the, but I have to think that. And you know, if you knew the outcome, it's not quite as scary. You ever watch a game where you knew the outcome? Maybe you recorded the game and somebody told you the outcome, and you said, "Oh, I wish you hadn't told me that." And we go through that all the time. But oh, I wish you hadn't told me. And then it's close, and you're sitting there kind of thinking, "I'm glad I know. I'm not quite as shook up about that." But this is even more important than that, folks. We do know the end. This shall be hereafter. Everything that happens. You know, do you understand? The Antichrist is a scary, scary person. Okay? Well, he's going to be doing his thing before the tribulation starts. Okay? Let's try to get this in our minds. Okay? If the tribulation, I don't know how old he is. You know, the Bible doesn't necessarily say that, but let's assume he's in his 50s. I'm just throwing that out. I'll probably throw out a different number as we go through this, but let's assume he's in his 50s. That means that probably by his 30s, he's becoming well-known and becoming a pretty important person. Well, do you understand that if the rapture were to take place even 5 years from now, Antichrist is doing his thing. He's a scary person. Laws are going to be made against Christians. Things are going to start happening. People are going to start talking about not using the name of Jesus. Not talking about Christ. The Messiah. Well, you can't talk about him. We can talk about Allah. We can talk about everybody else. Don't talk about Jesus, though. You know the song, "Let's Talk About Jesus"? Yeah. You know, they don't want you to talk about Jesus anymore. Folks are getting in trouble for praying in Jesus' name. How many of you pray in Jesus' name? I do, always. They asked me to pray for a county meeting here, and I said, "Listen, you got to know right up front, I'm going to pray in Jesus' name," and that's fine, that's no problem. But you know, in many counties in our country, you can't. In public school graduations, kids are getting in trouble for giving a testimony of Jesus Christ. You can talk about anything else. You can talk about warm and fuzzy moments all your life, but don't talk about Jesus. Ushers, I need you to come. We need to have a warm and fuzzy moment of an offering. But understand, if the rapture is to take place any time in the next 20 years even. Antichrist is doing his thing somewhere. Those 10 toes, those 10 kings, they're alive. They're busy. They're moving up. They're getting their money together. All that you say, preacher, you sound like a conspiracy theory. This is the conspiracy of all time right here. Huh? Antichrist, the conspiracy of the dragon. Okay, that is the conspiracy. There aren't any other conspiracies. You can call them what you will. There's this and there's this. You know what? It all goes back to one thing. That's the dragon and his conspiracy against God. That's what it all comes down to, honestly. You can talk about Trilateral Commission. You can talk about all the power of all these. I can't even remember all the different groups and all the things. But it all comes down to just one conspiracy. That is Satan hates God. And he wants to bring him down. But he won't. And we know the end of the whole thing. Father, thank you for giving us that truth. Thank you for allowing us to use our brains to think, to open our hearts to your Holy Spirit so that we can be led and you can guide us into the truth of the Scripture. And I pray that as we study your word, and Lord, every time we meet with the Bible, that you'll show us that which will help us to obey you and to love you better, that we might be exactly what you want us to be when you come. Bless now our morning service. Speak to hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.